Assalamu alaikum. Bonjour. I'm Lamia Fabio. I'm a certified coach, hypnotherapist. I master the art of reprogramming the subconscious mind. Welcome to my podcast, 7 Years in Saudi. What is it about? I have one word for you. Emotions. After 7 years in this incredible country, I just landed into a new dimension of myself that I was totally unaware of. This podcast is about sharing my experience, a growth experience, into perspective that only Saudi could bring to my attention. And I want to share with you my why, making joy a choice every day of my life in order to find serenity. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm a mother of 4 wonderful kids. I have lived in many different countries since the age of 2, most of them with my husband for more than 27 years now. 7 years in Saudi is about my story. In 7 years, I became a totally new person, a new version of myself. I shifted my perspective, my belief system on who I was supposed to be. 7 years in Saudi, as if I spent 7 years in Tibet. It felt pretty much like Brad Pitt going first to impress the world by climbing the highest mountain on earth and ending up discovering a complete other way to live with himself. 7 years in Saudi or 7 years in Tibet is about the same story, finding peace and finding serenity. Besides that, I want to share this story and everything I learned along the way, because I believe it might help. It might save some time and energy. And most importantly, I discovered about myself that even when speaking, I get to understand better. When I use my voice, my mind gets clear, as if I am brainstorming to myself. I want to share my story because as a mother, I know many, many of us struggle with finding serenity. I experience being a business creator. I experience many different types of jobs. No one was harder than being a mother. 7 years in Saudi, and thanks to my kids' teachers, I was able to find the courage to look into myself and do the healing work. 7 years in Saudi taught me how to deal with my emotions, especially the nasty, tricky ones. You know, the ones that make you wake up at night afraid of what is going to happen to your kid, or those who make you want to control every single thing in your life, or those emotions that keeps you watching a horror movie in case something terrible happens to your little one, or those ungrateful emotions that keep knocking at your door the moment you wake up, telling you, "Hey, you nasty, bewitched, incompetent lady, that is not enough. You didn't do enough. Oh my, how dare you ask for help? How dare you complain about this impossible mission to just be a human being?" Or more specifically, in my case, I'm calling it the Hulk syndrome disorder. Yep, Hulk. I found out I was related to him personally. I felt very close to this character. What a coincidence. I remember loving watching the show when I was a little girl. Anybody who feels like Hulk knows that we are out of control of what we feel. This is a burst of anger, this fire inside your stomach. I used to feel it all the time. And it felt like prison. When you are stuck in a mood, it is like prison. And boy, when you are a mom, especially if you don't want to settle for the World Series contest of being the best mom in the world, well, you might feel a bit angry. We don't feel angry because we are overreactive. We feel angry usually for very specific reasons. When somebody slaps you in the face, you are sure to feel angry, unless you are dead inside. When we play a game and the rules are simply unfair, or not applied to everyone, like somebody who doesn't respect the cue, well, you can be sure that somebody will express his anger. So anger had a message for me, and I was million miles away of knowing that. I didn't know that emotions had a message for us. No, I wasn't reactive or weak. Anger has nothing to do with lack of self-control. It is a healthy reaction, the one that prevents us from feeling sad or worse, ashamed. Those emotions bring a cocktail of nasty hormones that literally poison our body. So does anger. The thing about anger is just that we cannot avoid it. It is visible like the nose in the middle of your face. You cannot hide your anger, and you cannot hide from it. So was my stomach ache that kept going on till it was unbearable. Till a doctor told me that those pills I was taking can lead to a cancer. Okay then, in Saudi, the moment I stepped in, that was in January 2013, all started going nuts in my life. I followed my husband to Saudi. I had to leave my business that I was so proud of creating in Algeria. And I chose to sacrifice my career so I can be there with the kids who very quickly started struggling at school. So the moment I came to Saudi, a lot was not functioning. The school, my business, and I was nagging all the time, feeling upset, feeling frustrated, feeling resentful. I increased both my smoking and my drinking. Stress started peaking at levels I didn't know about. And in Saudi, I had time, plenty of time. The kids were at school, no habitual TV channels, not the same lifestyle. I became addicted to YouTube. I started discovering more and more about subjects I wasn't aware of, especially about health stuff, economics, finance, world geopolitics, news. Anxiety went to the rooftop. Never reached that level before, to a point where I wasn't trusting anyone, especially when it came to traveling by plane. Anxiety is this nasty bravo lady that made my mind think of all the possible worst cases, scenarios that possibly can happen. Anxiety is like binge watching the movie Saw, you know, the horror movie. It is painful. It doesn't stop and doesn't answer any standard of sensible thinking. It's an emotion. I drank the hormonal cocktail of anxiety and I couldn't stop myself. A prison, I say. Saudi and my kids made me know something about myself. Some would see it as a goal-oriented person. Some would qualify me as an obsessive person. Both reach the same target. I don't stop digging until I cannot dig deeper. Naturally, if you dig very, very deep into smoking, for example, I reach 3 packs per day, then one outcome is happening. You get disgusted by it. So I quit smoking. When you dig deeper into anxiety, you get to find out why anxiety. The point of this fear is the fear of death. Plain and simple. When I went so far into a catastrophic scenario, what are you gonna do? You let go. Go ask any person who lived in a war zone. The level of stress is so high. People keep getting married, having kids, listening to music, dancing, as soon as they can, as soon as it's possible for them to do so. Because the only way to beat death is by putting more life, joy, and happiness. You don't beat darkness with more darkness. You beat darkness with a candle, a simple candle. Light is the only answer, I found. You don't beat anxiety with more anxiety, though it appeared to be very effective. Feeling the extreme anxiety of death, like a rat who is trapped in a maze. I faced the emotion. I went into the extreme and I faced the worst scenario. It felt pretty much like the box scenario in Dune. I put my hand in the box and I felt the extreme fear of death. Then I slept. Anyways, I may die today. I may die tomorrow morning. I have absolutely no control over it. So I just switch off the news channel, for real and metaphorically. And I had a compelling call to have another child. My husband was happy about it too. So we welcomed our third kid in Saudi. I chose life over death. And it was the best choice I ever made. I felt blessed. And after giving birth, this time I put on weight, as usual, 30 kilograms plus. The two first pregnancies were the same. I was aware of an efficient diet now, method. But this time, as I was out of the cigarette addiction, I got back to exercising. Saudi gave me the huge gift of discovering Zumba and yoga. Mamma mia, dancing, stretching, and breathing. I always loved dancing. But boy, nobody has told me that I could have such fun while working out. And yoga made me more in touch with my body. My awareness increased. So I went back to my body. I started taking care of my body. That automatically led me to more awareness. I started realizing more things. The people I was dealing with, the emotions I was feeling. And I didn't like it. Mr. Hulk kept coming back and forth. It was like a repetitive loop of encounters, experiences. I kept feeling betrayed or disrespected. And oh my, the amount of unfairness was at peak. Things kept going wrong. And in 2018, 5 years after arriving in Jeddah, I was fed up with the anger loop. I said, stop. I really wanted peace this time. I claimed high and loud that I needed to feel peace, serenity. I don't want to fight anymore. I want calm. And that was the beginning of the new me. It's like my body heard my voice. It was loud. It was deeply coming from my gut. Enough struggle, enough. I was sure of that because I knew I was doing wrong with my kids. Try to imagine having Hulk as a mom. Yep, go on. The first outcome is that you end up with kids fearing you because you never know when Hulk becomes Hulk, right? It comes suddenly, unexpectedly. And the second outcome when you scare your kids, they lie to you about anything because they didn't trust which part of me was going to answer. Sometimes it's a very soft, loving mom And sometimes it can be a sea monster, like this big octopus in The Little Mermaid. Yeah, because a multitask, highly competitive mom has at least 8 arms, right? You know that. She can strike faster, stronger, and beat anybody who triggers her fight and flight mode. Do you picture the Guan Yin Shiva in Thailand with her multiple arms? That's it, you got the picture. My kids made me realize that I needed to calm down because these emotions I was feeling had to be cleared. That was not negotiable, and that was not any more acceptable. Only the unconditional love of your kids can give you this courage to see your flaws. Only my kids gave me the strength to accept that I needed to change that. So I just surrendered to this idea of those emotions. If I was feeling angry, it would put me into a fighting situation all the time. It's like I was craving moments to fight, to struggle. And I met one of my friends who was becoming a therapist, who mentioned 2 things. What is this anger telling me? And she asked me if I did hear about nonviolent communication and Marshall Rosenberg. And the transformative journey started. I started the healing work by following a thread to a better communication. I thought I was going to learn communication methods, which is basically true, but the core of it is understanding my needs and my emotions. That is the deep philosophy of it. I can only communicate in a peaceful way if I'm honoring myself by considering how I feel and respecting my needs. What kind of needs are we talking about? Respect, consideration, calm, love, attention, affection, sweetness. If I'm respecting my needs, I'm not going to feel frustrated or angry. I'm simply going to feel relaxed, satisfied, and most probably joyful. Okay, didn't have a clue about that. I made the normal curriculum path with a major in I should do and I must have, I must do. I wasn't aware of the I need to curriculum. Even better, the no class program was completely shut down at that time. I had to say yes to everything. I had to please everybody. Why the hell do I have to please everybody? Why would it happen if I say no? Okay, I don't want to cook today. What would happen if I say no? I don't want to meet those people, especially your family. What would happen? Am I going to die? Are you going to punish me by withdrawing your affection? That means a lot. That suggested even more. Most importantly, I got aware of the fact that I was afraid of people's reactions to my position. That went into questioning, what am I allowed to receive as a treat? And then I realized that when I love someone, I never ask for a conditional close to my affection. I love my kids. I don't force them to wash the dishes. Otherwise, I will not love them anymore. Well, usually we don't say it like this. We act like this. We do silent treatment. We have dark faces. We stop cuddling. We shame. This is it. It's like I was bound only to conditional contracts of love. Conditional contracts of friendships. Anything. So people don't love me just unconditionally. That means that I'm not lovable. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a second. Oh my God. Can you think of your kids not having any kindness from you? Not affection? No love? Can you feel this? They discovered I had this story about those babies, I think it was in India, who were orphans. They were treated medically, fed, received all the biological supply they needed. But nobody cuddled them. Nobody was there to hold them and show them emotional bond. The babies simply died. Can you imagine a life where you don't feel any love, any kindness, any smile? It's unbearable. It feels like hell. So if I realize that I'm on a conditional trend, I'm not safe by showing my biggest need, love, and conditional love toward myself. And of course, if you listen to any self-development talks, they all tell you that the key is to love yourself. Okay, so what does it look like to love yourself? This is very abstract to me. Give me the methodology, please. Then you hear about self-esteem. If you don't love yourself, it's because you have a lack of self-esteem. Okay, what does it look like to have good self-esteem? I see those who say they have good self-esteem, they drink smoothies and healthy food. Still, this is not clear where to start. And why on earth don't I love myself? Where does this come from? If I don't love yourself, if you don't love yourself, you lack confidence, then you will have anxiety problems. Okay, tell me how to fix that. You need to love yourself. What else? You need to feel grateful, abundant. You need to feel positive emotions so you can attract more positive. Carry on. I'm curious. Those were only concepts. How practically can I address those problems? That is the incredible journey I went through while I am in Saudi. Saudi pushed me through boundaries I didn't expect. 7 years of hustle made me discover the recipe to this self-love. I love scientific evidence and experimenting. So I experimented every single method I am willing to share with you. So far, all the method led me to one single conclusion. If I want to feel better, I need to be in control of my mind, and more specifically, of my subconscious mind. That is the only way to feel free of any harmful programming memory that we all share in humanity, in our specific selves. People from all over the world come to Saudi to pray for miracles. 7 years in Saudi have been a miracle to me. Next episode, I will be happy to tell you more about my story, my experiences as a mother, as an entrepreneur, and as an artist. Because 7 years in Saudi is a journey into the art of healing myself. Art has been the key to my struggle. Art is the key to joy and serenity. Not only that we can choose joy for fun, but because joy is the fastest, easiest way to be at peace. That is my discovery. That I want to share with you in a very tangible and artistic way. I went through a lot of different lengths, and I made a lot of mistakes. I tried a lot. I told you, some would say I'm a goal-oriented person. Some would say I'm obsessive. But I like easy. I love easy and effective. Some would say I'm lazy. Some would say I'm smart. It depends which side of the road you choose to be. The outcome is the same. In both cases, I choose joy as much as consciously as possible. And I even choose to automatically choose joy. I'm Lamia Pavio. I'm a certified coach and hypnotherapist. I will be happy to tell you another story in my next episode about my 7 years in Saudi. my dearest Saudi. Thank you for your attention. I love you all. Have a wonderful day. Have a shiny, wonderful day.